Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today is Wednesday, March 21st, 2012. As you know, the InfoWars Nightly News has been on hiatus, not a real hiatus, just a pit stop where we're changing out the treads, we're refueling, and we're getting ready to turbocharge when we come back next week. We're going to revitalize everything, roll out new talent, new graphics coordination, and a whole lot more. Just wait till you see what we've got in store. Meanwhile, we're bringing you some of the most hard-hitting episodes from the first run of the InfoWars Nightly News. Tonight is no different, with an episode from December 22nd, 2011. Alex has a key interview with Bruce Fein, the constitutional scholar and Ron Paul advisor, as they discuss the whole system trying to weigh in against Ron Paul in the weeks leading up to the Iowa caucus. If you recall, if you were following the campaign trail, you will remember they were panicked for weeks, almost a month, at the prospect that Ron Paul was going to outright win the Iowa caucus. And then look what happened. They couldn't report on the real vote. They met in secret. They had a gentleman's agreement that it was going to be a Santorum-Romney virtual tie, even changing who was in the lead there, putting Ron Paul in a strong third and yet a forgettable third, as they later devised. Anyway, Alex will talk with Bruce about all the elements trying to fight against the Ron Paul campaign as Ron Paul fought to get a fair attempt in that race. Meanwhile, you've got the whole designation of the American people as the enemy. We had just broken at that point in time how KBR was contracting people to actually staff FEMA camps to be on 72-hour notice, ready to go at a variety of duties, everything from kitchen duty to guard duty to putting up fences and all the rest of it, electricity and the whole deal. Meanwhile, we discovered other plans inside of bids contracting for people to work for the U.S. government that Homeland Security was unveiling a Blue Shield program, which literally designates the American people as the enemy, designating emergency coordinators, Homeland Security staff, and other contractors as the only good people in the time of a crisis under Homeland Security's largely concealed, largely secretive continuity of government emergency program plans. And it's just scary to know how much they see us, the American people, as the threat against their tyrannical takeover. Of course it is, because they have nothing good in mind. They only want to destroy the Republic. So, of course, everyone's going to oppose them, except those go-along nice Tories. But that's something else. Anyway, in this report, we also have Darren McBreen, who's done a lot of great special reports since he's been here. He joined us shortly before we launched the InfoWars Nightly News, and he and the entire new crew have just brought so much to the table. You've seen all the wonderful graphics nightly, every day, just in volume, that Marcos has put out. You've seen all the reports, quotes, and research that people like John Bounce have done. And you've seen, definitely, in front of the camera, Darren McBreen bringing you Man on the Street reports and other special reports. Tonight is his special report on police brutality and how it has escalated over the years since that sort of landmark racial tension moment with Rodney King and the LAPD back in the early 90s. And you've also got more coverage about the overall Twilight Zone of how Ron Paul's leading going into the beginning of primaries, and yet he's not leading. The mainstream media won't acknowledge anything while they're shaking in their boots. What if he wins the Iowa caucus? You've got CNN showing Ron Paul is the most popular among non-whites in statistical polls. You've got smoke screening, why the TSA is ineffective and makes airports less safe. That was back in December. You saw just last week how somebody showed how you could sneak on explosives or metallic devices or whatever through the body scanners, but everyone has to go through them anyway, and grannies have to get shaken down and put it up against columns when they can't walk. You've also got Finland, who found, quote-unquote, Patriot missiles on a China-bound ship, and a whole lot more. Just another hard-hitting, powerful episode in the InfoWars Nightly News, but that's nothing. We've revamped, we've changed, we've upped the game on everything. Just wait till we get started fresh for a whole new start next week on the InfoWars Nightly News. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone. And don't forget, we do depend on subscribers to support and fund our operation. If you haven't thought about it before, PrisonPlanet.tv is very affordable, but it also gives us a big boost because we don't have corporate sponsors. We don't take advertisements from vaccine companies. We don't work for big foundations, and we don't get along with CNN and Fox News. So we do count on individual grassroots supporters like yourself, not only to fund this operation, but to get the word out about it. And we'll hope you do just that. Stay tuned. The InfoWars Nightly News has just begun in the battle for liberty.
It is Thursday, December 22nd, 2011. I'm your host, Alex Jones, and we have another very important broadcast for you this evening. Thank you for joining us. We are going to have a constitutional expert, lawyer, Bruce Fine, who's the chief policy advisor to Congressman Ron Paul, joining us coming up in the second half of the broadcast tonight. And, of course, Bruce, who's extremely informed, was aware of the continuity of government plans where the federal government talks about waging war against the American people and how that ties in to the NDAA. We'll be discussing our top story tonight with him. Last night we interviewed a defense contractor who pointed us towards federal websites that had sensitive material posted on them but not classified. Since then, and since we did that interview that evening, they pulled the documents down off the site and put a notice up about the fact that they could be classified and people shouldn't post classified material. Very, very cryptic, and we have those articles up there. And they designate the friendly military and FEMA personnel will carry transponder ID badges designated blue team versus the red, that's the rest of the American people. Of course, soldiers in Afghanistan fighting, quote, Taliban and Al-Qaeda, they're blue, the enemy's red, and the military people we've talked to have confirmed our report is accurate, and this deals with a total military takeover of America and the military taking over every facet of society. And then we have the link to another report we did late last night, Aaron Deitch put together, where they pulled the documents, but we were able to archive them. And it says, attention, agency users are responsible for properly uploading controlled and unclassified material to FBO using the access control procedures for document packages and attachments. Do not upload any classified materials to FBO. So they took it down and put that cryptic message implying that it might be classified or somebody uploaded it who wasn't supposed to. This is bombshell information. We've got congressional reports about plans to put Americans in FEMA camps during emergencies, and we've got them activating the camps now and KBR heading up those contracts. But this talks about military manning them and the barricades, the stockades, the blue forces, basically America, a giant battleground as the NDAA states. So this is our military we pay for, basically being geared up against the American people. But it is waking up the military and a lot of citizens because this is so amazing. Now, continuing with the news, and we'll talk more about this with Bruce Fine coming up later, we have reports dealing with Congressman Ron Paul, who's been criticized in the media for talking about this military takeover, which is happening in plain view. Last night we had reports, of course, on CNN about how great it would be to have troops on the streets to fight crime and government calling for it. I mean, it's all happening, but people tell me I'm bad because I was right and so was Ron Paul, as if we caused this because we knew about the preparations for it. Twilight Zone is one of the reports. USA Today story says that Ron Paul may be leading in Iowa, but that he's not really leading in Iowa. And even if he starts winning, you're still not allowed to vote for him because government is basically God and tells you what to do. And we have another report that's up at InfoWars.com, a CNN poll. Ron Paul is the most popular Republican amongst non-white Americans, despite the fact that the media keeps trying to tell you that he's this big racist. Separately, though, they say it's just terrible. Ron Paul wrote in some of these reported newsletters that HIV may be a bioweapon against black people in Africa. And of course, there's massive evidence to that. And so he's quite racist because he doesn't want the black people to die and exposes that eugenics bioweapon operation decades ago. Continuing now with international news, there's reports that reporters and others are able to get through TSA screening with fake boarding passes. And then all of this is used as a pretext to say, well, we need more security or the TSA is doing a good job. Folks, you got a better chance of being struck by lightning or being eaten by a shark than you do of being killed by a terrorist. And we're going to break down more of that later. But this just shows it's a bunch of security theater and an excuse for a federal power grab outside their jurisdiction. And the TSA is now setting up checkpoints on highways. Now, in a report that's very serious, coming up here in a moment, dealing with Finland and Patriot missiles, we're constantly being told that Al-Qaeda is going to get us and give up our rights, but then Al-Qaeda is given control of Libya by NATO and given thousands of surface-to-air missiles that can shoot down aircraft. But then separately, the BBC and others reported that last night in a ship that is marked as coming out of the Isle of Man and coming out of Germany into Finland, that they found 69 Patriot missiles that are anti-missile missiles that can also shoot down aircraft. It's a surface-to-air missile is what it is. Were loaded up on a ship bound to China marked as fireworks. And who knows how many of these shipments don't get caught. Remember Clinton, Laura Allen Hughes, transferring intercontinental ballistic missile secrets and MIRV technology to China in the mid-90s? The globalists, under Clinton, they helped arm Pakistan with nukes. Rumsfeld was involved transferring the reactors from ABB in the mid-90s to North Korea to build nuclear weapons. This is the type of real destabilization going on by Western governments that are controlled by big defense contractors that want to stir up crises worldwide, just like the Rothschilds used to fund both sides of a major war. Now, I want to get into a special report that has been a week in the making that Darren McBreen, Rob Jacobson, and others here in the office put together. And basically we're paralleling the fact that all over the world, people see what's happening and the incredible police brutality that's intensifying and protesters being beaten over the head or sprayed in the face with pepper spray for no reason who are peaceful. All over the world, people know tyranny when they see it. This is stuff we would criticize the Soviet Union 20 years ago or Communist China 5 years ago for. And now our government is doing it. Because they know the public doesn't trust the government anymore. And they've dispensed with trying to act friendly and loving. They're just trying to standardize incredible police brutality. So here is this in-depth 10-minute piece by Darren McBreen that puts this in context. Now, I want to warn you, we don't normally have profanity on this show, and a lot of families have their children watching. But just like sometimes you hear PBS, you know, radio or TV, and there's profanity in it because it's documentary in nature, and it would just be indistinguishable, unintelligible, if we cut all the cops cussing and citizens cussing as they're being beaten in the head or pepper sprayed out of this. So we are leaving this in. So there is some parental discretion advised. I mean, they cuss on broadcast TV now. But the point is, I'm not fascinated with cussing and potty humor here. This is being shown for documentary reasons, but parental discretion is advised. And I think I should title this right now, Police Brutality Epidemic, or Police Brutality by Design, or Why is Police Brutality Intensifying? I mean, words cannot describe what you're about to see. Here's the report, and then we'll go into break and come back to talk about the police state New World Order takeover grid with Ron Paul's chief advisor, Bruce Fine. Straight ahead. Stay with us. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
2 decades ago, Rodney King became a household name and a verbal symbol of injustice at the hands of law enforcement. As the shocking video of police brutality made headlines across the country because American cops engaging in such behavior was still relatively rare. Now, flash forward to modern-day history where you could surf the internet and find similar examples of police brutality, harassment, and oppression almost on a daily basis. Images of police beating protesters and other innocent bystanders has become a normality in our culture as America sinks into the depths of a tyrannical police state.
10 cents for some lemonade, guys.
Two more?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your business.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hello. How are
you doing?
Hey! Leave these people alone! I'm sorry, you're under arrest. Leave these people alone! Leave them alone!
I am getting arrested for selling my... Do you guys have surfers?
I spent 14 months in Baghdad, and I can't even sell lemonade on the public property!
And then you make people smile.
My name is a mystery. No, I have nothing to hide.
If the bubble touches me, I'm going to be arrested for assault. Do you understand me?
Bubbles.
Yes, that's right. It's a deliberate act on your behalf. I'm going to arrest you. Do you understand me? Right. You're going to be in handcuffs. All right? You either knock it off with the bubble. You touch me with that bubble, you're going into custody. Right?
I'm putting it away.
Right. Thank you.
But I would also like to know...
You want
to
be...
Get your ID handy? Do you have your ID? Because I'll explain something to you. In the state of Arkansas... Here, you can make sure you get the name. The badge number. State of Arkansas.
Get out of my garage. Not welcome on my property.
You want to bait the police. Throw that on me or that other officer, and it gets in her eyes. It's a detergent. You'll be going into custody.
I understand.
Do we understand each other?
I do. I would
and put it away.
I am doing that at this moment.
Right.
I really appreciate
discussion's
it.
Over.
Can you get off my property?
I need to see your ID.
I'm standing in my garage.
Yes, sir, you are.
You are violating my Fourth Amendment. Show me a search warrant.
You're in my property. No, no, no.
You're not welcome here.
You.
You're not
so
welcome
I need your
here.
Driver's license. I need some form of ID.
If you could treat me with a bit of respect.
I just did. I just did. You got what you deserve. You got my respect. Right?
I don't feel very respected. I'm just
that's terrible.
Trying to
that's
keep
terrible.
You happy.
My heart bleeds.
Mine too.
Right?
Trample me.
For what? Am I under arrest? I'm under arrest.
Give me the board now. You've been warned. I want the board now.
I am a legal citizen of the United States.
Give me the board. Give me. You've been warned. Let go. Let go of the board.
You give it to me, I'll smack you upside.
Yeah, I don't have a
problem. Shut your mouth. I'm talking.
Bear, shut up, dude.
You've been warned. I warned you last time. Did you skateboard down High Street?
High Street?
Yes. No. No, okay, fine.
Where are you from? Give me the
Sit down! I gave you a warning, yes or no? Did I not give you a warning?
You gave me a warning, but
okay.
I have a right in the United States. I know my rights.
I don't give a shit.
I don't care.
Sit down, I'm not a dude!
I'm calling Aaron, mom. Sit down.
You're damn right you're calling your mother. Give me the board.
Give me the board. How do I get it back?
Have your parents come down and pick
it
up.
Does this cost money?
No, it doesn't.
You don't take my skateboard. I didn't do anything.
You see this?
Yes, you see this. I took the board. You have a problem with it?
I have a problem.
Then bring your parents down. We'll discuss.
All right.
Go for it.
First of all, you better learn how to speak. I'm not man, I'm not dude. I am Officer Rivieri. Now, the sooner you learn that, the longer you're going to live in this world.
Oh, no. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, ma'am.
Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Now put your hands on your back! Put your hands behind your back! You're going to be tased again!
Our cameras this evening, just about before 6 o'clock tonight, happened at MATA's main terminal at North Main and Danny Thomas.
up, Nation? I'm Amy Allen, and I'm here to show you that you can cook dinner while participating in the Phone From Home program for the Ron Paul 2012 campaign. This is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to make some potatoes. I'm going to make some burger sliders, all while calling Iowa citizens and asking them three questions. I'm being connected to Ryan Reinke. Pauline Hawthorne. Oh, my God. I can't pronounce that name. Hello. Is Steve Rammsteiner available, please? Hi, is Gerald Putnam available, please? I'm not gonna totally, you know, be like infomercial, like, oh, it's not really hard sometimes. I have just three questions. Okay. People hang up on you or whatever, that's not very cool. My name is Amy Allen, and I'm a volunteer helping to conduct a Republican presidential primary poll. This is so easy. You could literally do laundry, make dinner. You could walk the dog, I guess, if you didn't have to be close to the internet. Go ahead and kick it up a notch and add some garlic. Oh, I wonder if this is good. Hi, is Aurora Adams available, please? All you have to do is go to phone.ronpaul2012.com. It's fulfilling and it's rewarding. Right, Doug? That's not my dog, by the way.
If you believe in this information and want to support its viral spread, go to the InfoWars store at InfoWars.com. We've got the new G.I. Joe InfoWars t-shirts. We've got the incredible ProPure gravity-fed filters available at InfoWars.com in the store. We've got a new DVD, Scientists Under Attack, the Don't Tread on Me flag. We've got all sorts of different bumper stickers to help spread the rebellion virally. It's all there, wristbands, citizen rule books in every order. Order online at InfoWars.com today. The water filters, the canteens, it's all there. InfoWars.com.
Dr. Ron Paul, more than 4,000 babies delivered. A man of faith, committed to protecting life.
Some people need to have a good word said about them. Ron is the sort of person that his life is his good word.
You know, you just knew that Ron cared about you. Life begins at conception, in my opinion, and as a result, I love to go to a doctor who felt the same way.
He not only protects unborn life, but he also walks through journeys with women, and he has for years.
I love the fact that he hadn't changed in all these years. Ron's still the same guy, still saying the same things, and now all these years later, still standing his ground.
Ron did not let Washington change him.
It's not hard for someone who is a Christian and who truly believes to stay on the right path. And I think that's what kind of person Ron Paul is.
America has to have someone like Ron Paul today. There is no question.
And I am extremely honored to be joined by Bruce Fein. His latest book is American Empire. In fact, we'll put it back up on screen for folks. American Empire Before the Fall. And we certainly are seeing the beginnings of the fall of this empire. He, of course, worked at the U.S. Department of Justice, where he served as Assistant Director of the Office of Legal Policy. He also worked in antitrust. He is a top advisor to many committees in Congress on constitutional law. He's a constitutional lawyer, and he is frequently quoted in the Financial Times of London, New York Times, you name it. And I think his greatest claim to fame is he is the senior policy advisor to Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul, who is now in the lead in Iowa and in Nevada and other key states, and is under an incredible bombardment of disinformation and propaganda from the corrupt establishment on both sides, the left and right, really certifying and signifying he's the real McCoy, not just his sterling constitutional voting record. And Bruce Fein has been an advisor of his for many, many years and has been working hard on the campaign trail with him. So I want to get into what's happening in the incredible police state expansion and also what's happening with Ron Paul. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and Ron Paul and all the support, I would say, is a manifestation of that. Bruce, thanks for joining us from D.C. What should we get into first, the giant police state power grab or Ron Paul's counter to it?
Well, I think we should get into the power grab first, because that really transcends any individual candidate. It's something that's going to come to haunt the United States, not only today, but in the future, if we survive as a genuine sovereignty that celebrates the Republic. And not only do we have this National Defense Authorization Act that Ron Paul condemned, that crowns the military with authority to detain any of us for life in the United States if the president says we're substantially aiding an associated force of the Taliban to attack coalition forces, a totally open-ended standard that now makes all of our liberties at the whim of the president. And then we have this continuity in government revelation that we discussed earlier that suspends democracy, suspends the republic in the event of some so-called emergency that the president declares, whatever standard of emergency is, and basically pits the government against the people. That's an inversion of what the Constitution is about, which says we the people are sovereign, not the government. The government is the steward of our liberties, not the grantor of our liberties that are unalienable. And we also know from stories recently that we have surveillance drones on the southwest border, the government claiming they can surveil us from the day we step out, the moment we step out of our house until we go back into our bedroom without any probable cause, without any warrants. That's what's being made as a claim in the United States Supreme Court. We're using predator drones to kill people based upon secret evidence and secret law that the president says he can't disclose. There's no post-mortem. There's no way to hold anyone accountable for these assassinations that remind me of the Gulag archipelago of Solzhenitsyn, during the Soviet days. And it never ends. Always more encroachment on liberty. Always more encroachment on privacy and this futile quest for so-called absolute risk-free existence, which is a guarantee of simply detaining and arresting everyone on the theory that we're not all saints. A truly horrifying, I think, development. And the incredible thing is there's so little resistance. Rand Paul voted against these kinds of bills in the Senate, but it's really a handful overall. Only 13 senators out of 100 oppose this tyrannical rule. Ron Paul himself, I think, is the one person standing as a beacon there, recognizing and willing, unlike all the other candidates, to argue against this police state that makes safety as opposed to liberty and freedom the touchstone of the country, even though the safety really is an illusion. Because when you create a belief that all citizens are disloyal, it'll create cynicism and a sense that the government then becomes illegitimate. And the greatest strength any country has is the allegiance and loyalty of its people. That's the greatest strength, and not the weapons, not the guns, things of that sort.
Certainly. I mean, in the last few decades, the military-industrial complex, the big crony capitalist, non-free market megabanks, they've tried to keep the velvet glove on the iron fist. But now, because Congress for now, 2 years, has had a 9% approval rating, even liberals, big government people say they fear big government more than, the free market and corporations now. So there is an awakening. So I think the system is just dispensing with even the ceremony now. I mean, we were talking about this before we went live here. This was put on the White House website 2 weeks ago. Strategic implementation for plan for empowering local partners to prevent violent extremism in the United States. And it's a federal announcement saying domestic terror is the number one threat, and speech criticizing the government, there's bizarre quotes in here, is aiding terror. And there's a President Obama quote in here where he says, I'll read it, as a government, we are working to prevent all types of extremism. So now terrorism is extremism that leads to violence. Oh, see, the extremism, the talk leads to violence, regardless of who inspires it. And they go on to say, we're now worried about domestic groups, mainly right wing. Quote, at the same time, countering Al-Qaeda's violent ideology is one part of the comprehensive strategy to defeat Al-Qaeda. Over the past 2.5 years, more key Al-Qaeda leaders, including Osama bin Laden, have been eliminated or in rapid succession than any time since September 11th. We have strengthened homeland security and improved information sharing thanks to coordinated intelligence and law enforcement. Numerous terrorist plots have been thwarted, saving many American lives. And then they go on to say extreme talk is now aiding Al-Qaeda. And so it makes this bridge. And if you read deeper into this, that they're going to use the NDAA, the military, basically against the American people. And as we know with the MIAC and Homeland Security reports that law enforcement sent me 3 years ago, none of this has to do with foreign threats or Al-Qaeda and all this talk. It's always about Tea Partiers, Ron Paul, Bob Barr, constitutionalists. I mean, what does this signify as a constitutional lawyer and expert?
Well, it shows that the Constitution has been vandalized by the government, and the government needs to be held accountable. And it turns, they say, the idea of the republic on its head. The glory of a republic is liberty. The individual is the center of our constitutional solar system. In an empire, what we've got today, big government encroaching on all of our liberties is the earmark, and dominion and domination is the so-called glory of an empire. So we're so far away from the Constitution as it was drafted and understood and celebrated 220 years ago that we might as well be King George III. The President of the United States at present enjoys more authority than King George, who we overthrew because of his tyrannical powers in 1776. That is where we are. The Constitution has been so defaced, it's been so warped to just empower the government to encroach and stamp and destroy our liberties. And now when they're suggesting freedom of speech, the freedom to criticize the government, which should be welcomed since the government errs so often, they need instruction rather than echo chambers, is now being made suspect. And indeed, we had the situation when the Patriot Act was passed shortly after 9/11, where the then Attorney General said anybody who criticized the Patriot Act was aiding and abetting the enemy. You know, it's this delusion that causes President Obama to say he doesn't understand why people in Afghanistan or Pakistan are trying to kill our soldiers just because we're trying to shoot them, you know? Maybe it's because if we stopped shooting them, then they wouldn't be protesting with violence. And maybe if the government obeyed the Constitution, they wouldn't get the extreme speech. And I don't want to suggest that we're at the precipice of justifying, you know, violent revolution. But we never should forget that in that Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote and all of our founding fathers subscribed to, it says, when a government evinces a consistent train of action that displays an intent to reduce us to vassals, there's not only a right, a duty to change and overthrow the government and to supply a new dispensation that will protect our liberties. And the government's got to recognize you cannot continue to try to oppress all of our opportunities to speak and to argue and to display total and complete opposition to what we think are vandalizations of our constitutional rights. And expect to retain power. One of the things that I think is most unfortunate because of the historical ways in which it was, in some respects, was discredited, we need to go to the impeachment power. You know, Congress needs to stand up to the plate. The members should be impeached themselves if they're not honoring the Constitution, and any president of the United States who says that he can use the military to arrest us because he says that he suspects we're substantially aiding, you know, Al-Qaeda or Taliban, we don't have a right to rebut it. There's no trial. There's no accusation. We just get to rot.
Yeah, why would Congress
should not stay there?
Why, I mean, there's several questions here, but it's all intriguing and is the big issue of the day. Why would the Congress try to give the president the power of a dictator? But before you go there, Ron Paul, the congressman, the presidential candidate, was on my radio show last Tuesday. And the video of it's gone around the web. It's been seen millions of times. It's radio/TV. And he said, basically, what you've said, but he said the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, establishes martial law in this country. And that's what Jonathan Turley said. That's what basically what you've said. And literally more than 200, if you go to Google News and type in Ron Paul, Alex Jones, from that interview, more than 200 newspapers, CBS, ABC TV, basically said Ron Paul's an extremist and dangerous, and groups said that's why he's being kicked out of the upcoming debate. This shows why he's so off track. Meanwhile, it's all over the news that they're putting military on the streets in Illinois and Louisiana. It's on CNN 2 days ago. They're calling for troops to stop crime. The TSA setting up checkpoints now on highways in Tennessee and other areas. This is all happening. They're saying they're going to do this, and then Ron Paul says, look, the emperor wears no clothes, and they howl that he's nuts. I mean, this is a weird paradox where everything you've warned about, he's warned about, others have warned about for decades is now manifesting, and they're separately pushing military on the streets, but then saying Ron Paul's crazy because he doesn't want it, because it doesn't exist. I mean, what is this?
Well, it's what Samuel Taylor Coleridge called a temporary suspension of disbelief. It's really Orwellian. It's the only word I can think of it. You know, call Ron Paul an extremist for defending and honoring the Constitution of the United States, and the non-extremists are the ones who are in favor of destroying the rule of law and imposing a government that we overthrew 220-some years ago called Great Britain with a monarch? I mean, it's hard to even have words to describe, you know, the absurdity of the characterization. Ron is the one who would have been there at the Battle of Bunker Hill. You know, these guys would have all been with the Tories and with the king. And it is an example, however, that those who are in power don't want to yield it. And power corrupts absolutely. And you indicated, well, why has Congress crowned the president with such overwhelming authority? I say it's because Congress has become the invertebrate branch of government. And it wants to surrender all authority to the president because it doesn't want to be held accountable for anything. They feel they have cushy jobs. They get the money to come, you know, to pay them their campaign expenses, and they'll sit there and act like they're in a movie, and they enjoy the momentary thrill of getting on television or radio from time to time. But they do not want accountability. They want to run away from accountability. That's why every time you come to a crunch where you're going to have to decide whether you're really going to cut government back, what does Congress do? Kick the ball down the road. 2 months, 6 months, 7 months, but never actually doing anything. Other than postponing today, it's like a little kid procrastinating. And that's the one element I believe the founding fathers were just stunned. They didn't think a branch would surrender power. But I think the reason why they misconceived how this has evolved here in 2011 is that the political parties have replaced the Constitution as the source of the allegiance of these members of Congress. They believe they're Democrats or Republicans, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, or New Orleans Saints, but they're not Americans. No, it's just their side. And they play like this is really just a game. It's not for the people of the United States. And that's why, hey, as long as their guy's in power, hey, give them all the power that you want, because that'll help you in the next election cycle. And it happens on both sides. And we've got to get rid of that idea. There's only one oath that members of Congress take. That's to the Constitution of the United States. They do not take an oath to the Republicans or Democrats or the president. The Constitution alone.
Let me go back to this question. I want to get into Ron Paul briefly before you've got to go. I know you're very busy, sir. You're heading up a lot of the campaign policies and things and supporting Congressman Paul. But, Bruce, looking at this, and, I mean, really working in government, being around these people for decades, studying it, why are they moving so quickly? I mean, even I am shocked by the speed of it, and I've been seeing this develop for a while. People said, oh, you're being extreme, but now it's moving faster than I even thought. And I'm instead of getting chills once a week of concern, I'm getting them every 30 seconds. I mean, I can feel the tyranny rising, not just see it. I can, you know, intellectually it's right there, but also in my gut. Why is the system moving at light speed towards total despotism, classical, naked, on fire, North Korean style, you know, Kim Jong-il is God, Obama is God, anybody who doesn't like it's an enemy. What is driving this?
Well, it's a unique and curious feature of empire that as actual danger diminishes, the sense of crisis climbs. And there becomes this idea that, oh, we're super powerful, we're big government, there should be no risk at all. We need to control everything that moves, even though the genuine danger is close to zero. And that's just in the human species. When you give someone uncontrolled, unlimited power, they want to destroy any element of risk or contingency whatsoever. And they do that by exerting authority. Police, military, courts, money, or otherwise, taxation, regulation, or something like that. And that's what, that is what you would call the pathology of empire. Says this is crazy. Take a look, Alex, at this NDAA. When does it pass? 10 years after 9/11. 9/11, we had some fog. We didn't know whether Al-Qaeda penetrated the country. Now, we know how insignificant they are. They're international criminal thugs, but there are 50 of them in Afghanistan, and there are no cells in the United States. So why are we creating this draconian authority 10 years after we know it's irrelevant? And also think of this, Alex. There were no congressional hearings on the NDA. Not one. It emerged out of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Lindsey Graham, John McCain. It didn't go to judiciary. It didn't go to intelligence. There was not a single congressional finding that any of these authorities were necessary to make us safe. It just appeared. So you have to ask, this is really stunning.
Well, that's like the Super Congress, where this committee of 12, when the president is the 13th, you know, I guess Merovingian leader or whatever, they just come up with a policy, and then you can up or down vote it, and then it kicks back if you don't. But what do you make, then, of all these moves towards Iran? I mean, is that just another desperate way to try to make themselves be the heroes of the people, claiming they're knocking out some new threat?
Well, absolutely. You can, the drumbeats are already there. The Secretary of Defense, Panetta, had said just a couple days ago on CBS News, less than a year, Iran will certainly have a nuclear weapon, and that is simply not acceptable. So he's trying to already create the justification for going to war. And then I ask, well, you know, Mr. Panetta, I was alive at the Cuban Missile Crisis. We have a retaliatory capacity that could incinerate Iran and then the Soviet Union. Doesn't deterrence work? It worked against the Soviets. It had huge number of missiles. And when you talk about, well, Iran is the only people in the history of the world, deterrence doesn't work. They all crave self-destruction. I said, well, is that true? This Islamic regime, as zany and erratic as it is, they did release our hostages after a long, prolonged negotiations. They didn't go to war. They ended the war with Saddam Hussein over Iraq. They negotiated reparations when we shot down a plane by USS Vincennes.
And they've now accepted Israel, the U.S., and England launching covert strikes, including now it's coming out aircraft covert bombings, missile bases, you name it. They've even put up with that, and it's clear the West's strategy is to poke them until they do something.
Yeah, I mean, including assassinating their scientists. So they're like, you know, listen, North Korea engages in rational, you know, behavior as well, even though it's got crazy leaders there. So deterrence works. So why are we going in there? And it's not to encourage proliferation. You know, I'm not happy Pakistan has a nuclear weapon. I'm not happy North Korea has a nuclear weapon. I'm not happy they're nuclear weapons at all. But we have to deal with reality out there. Yeah. And deterrence is the way you prevent this from being used in a reckless way. There's only one country in the world that's ever actually used nuclear weapons. It's called the United States of America. And that's not to necessarily say it wasn't appropriate to bring the war in Japan to a close very quickly. But, you know, other countries haven't done and acted in a reckless way.
Sure. The truth is everybody knows the U.S., especially in the last 100 years, is ready and willing to go to war. And, frankly, the world's totally scared of the United States. But the problem is we have these corrupt interests take it over. And so now the American people are endangered like a third world country from their own corrupt system using its military. In closing, in just 4 or 5 minutes, Mr. Fine, talking about the campaign, I mean, obviously Ron Paul's winning by putting issues on the table, shaking things up, the mantra that he can't win, that mind control quacking is not working. So now they're pulling out every stop like they did with Rand, but that seemed to backfire. And some evidence shows that these latest attacks and, you know, cherry picking things out of tens of thousands of pages and, you know, diverse newsletters is going to discredit Congressman Paul. I've already seen his numbers uptick in the last few days. It looks like it is backfiring. So what do you see this corrupt system doing to try to stop him? And how are you advising him, I mean, if it's a public strategy and everything Ron talks about is public, to deal with obviously a system that's going to pull out all the stops?
I think that the other efforts that, among others you described here, will be to try to take retaliation against broadcasters and people in the media, even such as you, who are supporting Ron Paul. That's what the military-industrial complex frightened is crazy like this. Northrop Grumman, Boeing, the big banks. They're fearful, so they want to take their advertising money and, oh, wait, we can't have these people who are in the media supporting Ron Paul. But the other thing that's I think will boomerang on those who are trying to attack Ron and or pretend that he doesn't exist is I think that displays an arrogance that they are instructing the American people how to vote. And I think the American people resent that. They feel that they're entitled to make their own judgment based upon the facts, and they understand, because of Ron's body language, if you will, that he's not an egomaniac. He's not a Napoleon unlike Newt Gingrich. He's there because he cares about the country, not about making $2 million speeches, you know, if he doesn't win, or capitalizing on inside the Beltway lobbying contracts like the others.
No, he's thrown himself into the middle of a bunch of scrofulous wolves who are attacking the old lion. Everybody can see it. They can tell he is a doctor trying to attend to the Republic, his patient. And I agree with you that it's only going to get crazier. And to see them in Iowa, to have the governor say a vote for him, just disregard it, and it'll discredit our process. How dare Ron Paul discredit Iowa when he's the one trying to discredit Iowa's importance? I mean, it is so transparent.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Already thinking up excuses, you know, as to why Ron Paul's victory won't mean anything. You know, they're changing the goalposts, if you will. But I'd like to spend a few minutes before we close, Alex, on what I think is a total misrepresentation of Ron's detractors of his views on national defense. They're trying to suggest that he's code pink and he wants to be like George McGovern, or, you know, go humbly and lick the genuflect before all foreign emperors, which is absurd. Ron Paul is the most hawkish of all the candidates when it comes to defending America and Americans. Now, of course, he's not hawkish about defending Afghans or Iraqis or Yemenis or Burmese or Tibetans, because that's not the role of the United States government. Maybe Mother Teresa can do that. But he is the strongest on using all of our defense resources to defend us. A common defense is what the constitutional obligation of the president is. All of his rivals, really, they're weak on defending American Americans. They're strong on defending everybody else in the world by sending military.
They won't defend our own borders.
In Darwin, Australia, we'll fight the Chinese. We'll fight everywhere except for Americans. And that is, in my judgment, insane. And your audience should think about this. If you had to talk to the family of the last soldier, Mr. Hickman, who died in Iraq, what would you tell that family what he died for? We sent him off to risk that last full measure of devotion. He's got courage. He's got manliness. And he doesn't know, and no one can tell him why he died. To my mind, that is a moral crime, if not worse.
No, he died for no-bid contracts.
Yeah. It's fair. Right. And that is clearly an utterly scandalous reason to send somebody to die. We should not be sending people to fight and risk their lives for the country unless we can write a Gettysburg Address and explain that's why they're out there, to make sure that liberty remained the glory of the United States of America. And Ron Paul is out there saying, yes, of course we're going to defend America. That's what defense is about. But it is not anticipatory wars everywhere around the world, not to defend Americans, but to defend everybody else who has no allegiance to the United States, pays no taxes here, doesn't obey our laws. But hey, it gives some people a thrill of domination for the sake of domination, bestriding the world like a colossus. But you know, that's something for their egomania, and they ought to really leave the country if that's how they feel. Let's keep the United States a more perfect union and continue to celebrate and honor liberty just as the Founding Fathers intended and the Constitution instructs.
AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. Bruce Fine. Well, I could talk to you for 10 hours. I know you've got to go. Just briefly, Congressman Paul also drew the ire of dozens of major publications on my show last week when I said Fast and Furious now caught shipping guns directly into Mexico. And it's also been in the El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune. 8 federal agencies involved shipping drugs back in. New York Times even admitted it, and laundering the money. I mean, this is really all starting to come out. They can't hide stuff anymore in the information age. And Ron Paul said, yes, he should be fired, further investigated. It's clearly criminal. And they're like, how dare him say we should fire the attorney general? I mean, now, again, it's bad when someone's caught perjuring themselves, caught engaged in a, and CBS got the documents, Bruce, I know you know,
yeah,
where they were going to blame the Second Amendment. And Ron Paul said, yeah, it's a false flag. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, he's the bad guy. I guess if Ron Paul would have shipped the guns into Mexico, Bruce, would that have been okay?
Well, I think that the United States government should never be involved in crime. You know, it's interesting, Alex, that we find this same almost government entrapment or involvement in many of these terrorism plots, where they are the ones who are encouraging and coming to the table with the explosives and telling young Muslims, hey, don't you want to blow up the Sears Tower or the World Trade Center or something like that? You know, so they goes along for year after year. You know, why are we, as a government, encouraging, criminal activity? there ought to be one standard. You comply with the law, period. And I agree with you, Alex. It's just intolerable. If the Attorney General didn't know, he should have known. And he should be fired for permitting people to do this without his knowledge.
Exactly.
You know, you're responsible for your subordinates. He's the Attorney General. I mean, remember all of the calls, which I joined, about Alberto Gonzalez. He didn't know who was getting fired, why he was getting fired. Well, it seems to me it applies equally to Mr. Eric Holder.
Well, you're right. Plus, he's been caught being involved in the whole thing. Amazing. Well, what else can we do to help get Ron Paul elected? Just I stand by him and get the word out and realize this is the fight of Ron Paul's life.
Yes, and it's not just the fight of Ron Paul's life. What he recognizes, it's the fight for American freedom. And that's what's the greatness of his candidacy. It really isn't about Ron Paul. And he'd continue to move on because he cares about the ideas. Those
sure, but I mean, we
born.
Drafted yeah. him. He's the one, though, he's really in the arena. So if we drafted him, we better get behind him.
Oh, absolutely. We need to stand unswervingly behind Ron Paul. And, you know, whatever intimidation comes, we reject it completely. We act in a way that's as civilized and decorous. We don't stoop to the other side's name calling. But no, we will not waver. We'll not be intimidated. You know, don't try to suggest that we're the revolutionaries. You know, you are the counter-revolutionaries. You are what the French would call the 18th of Brumaire, you know, Napoleon taking over the French Revolution. And that's what these guys are trying to prevent Ron Paul's candidacy from succeeding, because he's taking us back to the genuine, authentic Constitution and understanding of the United States that, I repeat, the glory of the United States is liberty, not domination. And we flip that. You know, now the glory of the United States and the at least the ruling elite's mind is no military-industrial complex,
yes.
Banks, $29 billion to so-called prop up all these mega institutions who are concerned solely with money, to have no philosophy, no soul whatsoever. You know, that is what exactly we fought against in 1776. That's what's so stunning to me. That's what we risked our last full measure of devotion to get rid of.
Absolutely. If you're conscious and awake, it's so clear. Bruce Fine, have a great holiday coming up, and be safe. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, that was Bruce Fine, author of American Empire Before the Fall, and the empire is out of control. It's run by finance oligarchs that are not free market, that make 40-to-1, 100-to-1 bets with other people's money like Corzine. I mean, we're in danger. And 99.9% of us, the world's going to become a worse place with these globalists in charge. And Ron Paul is really just a mainline constitutionalist. And the fact that he's so radical to the system shows how far these tyrants have taken us. Amazing job, as usual, to the entire crew, to John Bowne with his piece on the statistical chances of dying from terrorism versus having a soft drink machine fall on you. And, of course, Darren McBreen, Rob Jacobson, Rob Dew, Marcos Morales, Kevin, everybody here in the crew, and so many others. And all of you out there, if you're not a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com, it's almost 9 years of material, all my films, the nightly news, the daily three-hour radio show, the higher-quality podcast, and you're the folks that literally fund our operation to be able to produce this type of information that nobody else is doing. And we're reaching millions and millions of people. We're having success. I want to thank you. But if you're a viewer out there who's watching this when we post it on YouTube and other places, well, think about those that actually subscribed at PrisonPlanet.tv who did finance this. And think about coming over and joining PrisonPlanet.tv and downloading the material yourself, and putting it on disk and giving it to others so that we can continue to expand this operation. So those of you that do subscribe, again, are financing, getting this out to people generally where we post it the day after for free. But everything is right there at PrisonPlanet.tv, and it's still not too late, right up until Christmas morning, to give the gift of truth and to give a monthly membership, or you can get a yearly and get 44% off right now at InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. on the radio, and then 7 o'clock Friday night here for the edition of InfoWars Nightly News. And then next week we come back and it's the final week of 2011 and the year that we kicked off InfoWars Nightly News. The choice is up to you, liberty or tyranny. Choose a side. I'm Alex Jones signing off. God bless.